Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Darren Bush just walked out the door and said he was on his way to do some paddling with his daughter. Isn't that a kind of a fun way to spend an afternoon out with your daughter and a little kayaking, maybe a little canoeing? I bet he's kayaking. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of other good things to enjoy, and one of them is going through our Wisconsin magazine and talking about what's fun in Wisconsin. And Mike Bino, our guest today, is the editor of our Wisconsin magazine, and he joins us from his office in Manitowish Waters, an area that I love, an area of the state. And Mike, great to have you back. let's see. First thing I have to do, hold on, Mike. First thing I have to do is push the proper button to put you on the air. Now I think we're ready to go. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I bring good news from Vilas County.
Good news.
The snowmobile trails are open. People are doing headstands and handstands over that. As of yesterday, some were open, and today we got enough snow here in Vilas County for the machines to run. Might be a little bit rough, but come on up and do that if you're into that sport. Do stay off the lakes, however. Been a little bit of an odd year. Normally, on the small lake in front of our home, we've got 8 inches of ice between Christmas and New Year's. I'm going to wait till somebody braver and smarter than me walks out there first before I go out there.
Yeah, there have already been two fishermen who have unfortunately gone through the ice on a northern Wisconsin lake, and we don't want that.
Be safe. Be safe, everybody.
Our Wisconsin magazine's been around for a couple of years now, and it's really going strong.
Well, yeah, with your help, Larry, thank you very much. You heard about this project when we first got it going in 2013, and invited us on the show to talk mm-hmm. about it, and we're very heartened and happy to be with you. Yeah, we launched the magazine in 2013. I had gone into retirement, and after 9 years of stacking firewood up here in Vilas County, I'm a slow learner, I decided that I had flunked retirement. So my former employer, Roy Ryman, from Greendale, who founded the suite of magazines down there, which include Taste of Home, Birds and Blooms, Country, Reminisce, those magazines. He flunked retirement as well, and Roy's about 81 and has sparks flying off him still. just a wonderful entrepreneur and a carnival barking promoter who we love. So he and I decided to bring out our Wisconsin magazine. In 3 years, we've been quite humbled to see it run up to about 100,000 circulation, and That's got very little to do with either Roy or me. In fact, it's got nearly nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with one thing, and that is people love Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the magazine is about Wisconsin, but about people.
That's right. The cover says Wisconsin, and it talks about a place, and that's true. But really, it's a magazine about the people who live in Wisconsin and love it. And what we try to do in our pages is to allow the readers themselves to share their stories, and because really the best parts of Wisconsin reside within the minds and hearts of its people, and the best stories come from them. And we try to give them a place to share their stories, what it is about their corner of the state that makes it so wonderful to live in, and what it is about the people, what they're doing there. It's a present-day magazine, but we also we will share 3 or 4 reminiscent-style stories, nostalgia. We do a little hard history, but there's a difference between nostalgia and history, and people just love remembering some of this stuff and sharing the memories. And so we try to do a little bit of that in here as well. And so far it seems to be working.
Well, it sure does. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may subscribe to our Wisconsin magazine, or maybe you've got an experience to share or a question to ask as we talk about the magazine and about places to go and things to do in the state as well, because certainly our Wisconsin promotes that. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. You know, Mike, it was funny because over Christmas, in a family get together, you know, we're sitting around talking, and somebody brought up Easy Bake Ovens. And we're talking about Easy Bake Ovens, and my sister had one. I believe it was my sister who had one. And anyway, then I open up our Wisconsin magazine and this delightful story about Easy Bake Ovens.
Well, yeah. And the disappointment of not getting what you wish for at Christmas time, the heartbreak and the tears. Darlene Beekle is our volunteer field editor in Calumet County. She lives on a farm there with her husband and Jersey cows. It's a small herd. Lives in Hilbert. And she shared a story about when she's 8 years old, and that was the gift she coveted. What amazed me, and my sister later contacted me. My sister's in her 50s, and she still carries scars of not having been gifted with an Easy Bake Oven. But you know something? I can now see why these young ladies feel left out, even deep. Darlene's a grandmother, and she's still scarred by it. 30 million of those toys were sold. Literally 30 million around the world, and it's still sold. The version they have now represents looks like a microwave oven. The other thing I learned as we put this story together about the Easy Bake Oven is a Canadian fellow put out a book on this called Light Bulb Baking. Todd Coupe and lightbulbbaking.com. It's out there, but all the ins and outs of launching this toy and the different colors it came in. It came in avocado green, mod red from the mid-1960s. Really, as it changed, it changes through the years, that toy reflected culture all the way along.
And I actually was, I can remember eating a cookie that came from an Easy Bake Oven.
And you lived.
And I lived. I didn't, that's exactly right. Well, The whole magazine isn't about Easy Bake Ovens, for sure. It's only one page, but it's a delightful story, and I don't want to. There's a surprise ending to it, and a very nice ending, which I certainly do not want to reveal. People should read that for themselves. But I really enjoyed the kind of the kicker at the end, and then the really nice ending to that story. It was well written story.
Darlene did a good job, and right near that story in that issue, Larry, I know you're to take the lead here, but I just got to ask you, given your rural background, your ag journalism background, mm-hmm. and all of that, did you ever eat Oleo in your life?
No, we never had Oleo.
Good for you. That's the proper answer, but you know, my mother was a criminal at one time, I have to say. God rest her soul, but she was a criminal just by simply making out her grocery list. You remember those days?
You got it. Oh, yeah. I remember Gordon Roselip, too, one of the Wisconsin assemblymen. We can talk about that, but you've got a nice story about criminals. People from Wisconsin sneaking across the border to get yellow Oleo.
Smuggling, yes, it was illegal in Wisconsin from 1895 forward to sell colored Oleo margarine, because the color yellow is, of course, a natural color of butter, and there should be no deceiving the public. And that law remained on the books until 1967. Which led to a lot of frugal homemakers trying to figure out a way to get the cheaper spread. And at the time, margarine was considered to be more healthful than butter fat in butter. And that's been proven by science, of course, with trans fats in the margarine to be just the opposite. But a man from Gordon Govier from Prairie du Chien shared the story about his parents driving into Iowa to bring back, smuggle back colored oleo. This story brought back memories for me all the way to age four. And I know I was age four because of the house we lived in on the northwest side of Green Bay. My grandmother would come over, and I would leave the house because she came over to give my mother these reeking Tony permanents, which burned my eyes, and I could smell it outside from the sidewalk, literally from inside the house. But she also would make runs to Marinette in her big, thin DeSoto to see her mother in the nursing center, but also to sneak over into Menominee and bring... She would bring this stuff to the house, and they'd be scheming in the kitchen like with this contraband, and I didn't understand what the big secret was, but I guess I was looking out for policemen.
Well, it's a wonderful story, and it brought back some memories. I know in order to get oleo margarine back, and this is not in your story, but there was a tax put on it. And for, I forget, a year, a couple of years anyway, the tax money funded a dairy building on the UW-Madison campus.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. That's good.
So there,
got something in return.
Yeah, we got something. We got something really good in return. We have Mike Bino, our guest today, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, and we're talking with him about the magazine and about things to do, in Wisconsin. And I'm inviting you to join in. Give us a call. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. Give us a call. What events and places in Wisconsin say Wisconsin to you? What makes our state so special? We'll be back for your answers right after the news. Well, we cover many topics on this show, but I hope what stands out is that we are often celebrating what a wonderful state we have, and we're lucky enough to call home and the really incredible people who live here. Larry Mealer here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network, and we're having a great time visiting with Mike Bino. He is the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, which really celebrates what life is all about in our state. I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got a question or a comment about what's going on, or maybe you can tell us about an event going on in your area that you want to let people know about, or an experience to share that you've had here in the state. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So give us a call, shoot us an email, or go to our Facebook page. And also on our Facebook page, if you've got a nice photo of Wisconsin this time of the year, we'd love to see that as well. Post it up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. And Mike, it's always so much fun to talk with you about what's going on with in the state. And there's a winner of the treasure hunt.
Yes, there is. Apparently, I didn't hide the key quite well enough to trick them. For those who haven't heard of Our Wisconsin's treasure hunt, we've so far in the past 3 years, we've given away two new cars, and now most recently we have a winner of a brand new pontoon boat. This pontoon boat is built in Wisconsin at Northport Marine and Gillett, and it's got a Mercury motor, also built in Wisconsin, Fond du Lac. What we do in our treasure hunt is it's a little game we put in the magazine just to make things a little bit different and put some fun between our pages in addition to the stories we're talking about. We hide the key. Most recently, we hid the key for this pontoon boat in a park somewhere within the state of Wisconsin. Issue by issue, we have a map where we eliminate 10 counties and to slowly narrow the search, and we give clues, which we reprise each issue, to get people out there, get people enjoying Wisconsin parks. We encourage them to take a hefty bag along, pick up litter. Not only is that a public service, but maybe nobody gets on to you what you're up to out there, and they start looking too. So, yes, the pontoon boat has been won, and the key was found by a young man from Shiocton named Noah Gilbert, okay? 18 years old. He's the winner of a new pontoon rig with trailer. Mm. The interesting part about this is they made it a family outing. It happened the weekend, Sunday after Thanksgiving, so we were notified Monday morning. And this group of four people from this family in Shiocton decided they were going to go out over Thanksgiving dinner. The grandmother brought in this page of the magazine and said, "I just have a feeling we're going to win this. Why don't you take a look this weekend?" And this is true, and it's written up in the next issue. So father of the family pulled out, they read the clues, and the last clue we gave as to where this key might be hidden said, "Panfish here, trout are near." So the father pulled out his fishing atlas and started looking around, and he narrowed it to what he thought were five parks.
Yeah.
The first one they stopped at, Crones Lake Park in Kewaunee County. There's a 38-acre small lake there, and, of course, it's right next to Lake Michigan. Bingo. First place they stopped. Noah got out, looked underneath the bridge. There it was. under a footbridge that heads to the restrooms. I thought I was going to be sneaky with that one, but bingo, they nailed it.
Wow, so pretty happy family there. And that's kind of one of the fun things about the magazine, I guess, just to... You know, a little thing like that going on can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and thank you for this opportunity, Larry. Folks, if you're out there searching, please stop. Don't waste your gas money. And will we do another one of these? Well, stay tuned.
Okay. Well, Peter in Tachita has a comment for you, so let's go there. Peter, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I started to listen to the show. I've seen a copy of the Our Wisconsin magazine. I think it's really great. And when you're talking about reminiscence and this time of year, my wife and children have always loved the marathon of the Christmas story. You know,
yeah.
Don't get a beauty, you're going to put your eye out. Anyway, and one year I said, this is enough. We need to see something different. Which I said has more value than this. And so I got a copy of the movie All Mine to Give, which is set in Eureka, Berlin area in about, I think, the 1850s. And it's a tearjerker, but I've always wanted to know more about the true story. I understand that it's based on a true story, and so I had that suggestion for the magazine when they go to this reminiscence that maybe that'd be... an article to pursue in the future.
Okay, so now what's the name of the film again?
All Mine to Give. It's based on a magazine story that appeared, I think, in Cosmopolitan magazine in 1948. It was called The Day They Gave Babies Away.
Oh.
Well, I'm not familiar with that, but I'm quite interested. Thank you for the tip. And it's a good movie?
It's a great movie. Glynis Johns, I know, is one of the stars, and I think the male star was well known. I just can't think of his name right now. The last time I think maybe it's out in DVD now, but I had to get my copy from the Berlin Library, and all they had was a VCR at the time.
Videotape, yeah.
Yeah, videotape, yeah. So,
well, there we go. That sounds like a right up your alley, Mike.
Yeah, it sounds like a sweet human interest story, and that's honestly, we have gotten a couple of tips for stories that we followed up on and have run right from this program in your listeners, Larry. The story on the lavender farms up in Washington Island came directly from a call just like what came in here from Peter. And one of Peter's neighbors, by the way, I think, Bill Casper of Techeeta, has lived on a farm there all his life. He's in his 80s, shared a reminiscence of winter ice cream making in our latest issue. So good folks in Techeeta are full of good stories.
That's another good story. Him trying to get a sample of that ice cream and the lengths he went.
Yeah. Bill Casper is a wonderful fountain of stories, and he's got another one he sent to us. But for some background, he grew up in the 30s in Techeeta Township and is still on the family farm there on the southeast edge of Lake Winnebago. Also, for those who are knowledgeable about the sturgeon harvest on Lake Winnebago, Bill was a prime mover in the starting the, I hope I get this right, the conservation organization Sturgeon for Tomorrow. And his Packer Helmet sturgeon spearing shanty has been donated to the Wisconsin State Historical Society, and it's in storage now, and it's heading there because of this. But anyway, Bill grew up on a farm there, and as a 10-year-old, helped his mother crank some ice cream. They got the cream from the Jersey cows, and she said he could help, and he made the ice cream and about cranked his arm off. And Mom took the bucket, put her out back in the snow, and said to her big brood of children, "Now there's fresh snow here. If I see any footprints, I'm going to know you dug into this stuff. This is for dinner only." And so Bill listened to his mother, walked out to the shed, cut off a good length of binder twine, bent himself an S-hook, put it in his back pocket, went upstairs to his bedroom, slowly closed the door and looked out the window to the backyard, opens a window, lets down the hook, pulls up the bucket, takes one little teaspoon, puts it back down, closes up the window, gets rid of the hook and the evidence with a little smirk, and turns around right into the belly of his mother, standing an inch behind him, because he hadn't stopped to think that her bedroom was right beneath his, and she might see that bucket go down past her window.
It's another great story. I love the story. Oh
well,
man!
You can't make this up. Most magazines done by professional writers, you couldn't make that stuff up, and that's what we're here to bring forward.
Mike Bino, our guest today, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, joins us from his office in Manitowish Waters. Great to have him along. If you have a question, comments, or maybe an experience to share from this time of the season, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We had an email comment from James in Hillsboro I wanted to pass along. Says, "I have had a gift subscription to the magazine for 2 years, and I look forward to every issue. I've read about many people and places that are familiar, but when I found the article about Lyle Brum spearheading the effort to designate the Water Spaniel as the official dog breed of Wisconsin, I was extremely pleased to read about my friend, someone I actually know. The way this magazine is constructed, this pleasure could come to any of your readers at any time. This punctuated my appreciation for this valuable publication."
James, you're my hero.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice. That's a wonderful story, how the school children led the charge to get the American Water Spaniel named the state dog. And they got it through the legislature, and it's a wonderful tale. I hear this a lot, and this is one that came in today on our own Facebook page here from a reader, and she's saying, "For those cheeseheads who've moved out of Wisconsin, my aunt in California got this magazine. She told my sister in California, who then told me in New York. I then told a friend in Maryland." it's a great bi-monthly read to still feel connected to our home state. You know, so about a third of the subscribers get this magazine as gifts.
So there's four states right there represented.
Yeah, it's kind of going viral, but in the paper world, I guess.
Do you have any idea or know how many states the magazine goes to?
Certainly. We are in all 50 states. We're in all 72 Wisconsin counties, and we are in many, many foreign countries. We hear from Australia, Ireland. That's just a handful. But, yes, we are in every state, and I think we have been since our second year.
John in Rhinelander has a comment. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Mike, I have a question for you. When I was a kid, in my 60s, when I was a kid, we weren't wealthy and we weren't actually poor. But I remember receiving commodities in a box. And the oleo that you were referring to before, I remember it coming in a plastic bag, a white lard-like looking substance that had a yellow dye that had to be squished around and mixed with the lard substance to make the oleo. Were there any other types of oleo, or was that it?
Well, I would say years ago, I also worked in Reminisce magazine for many years, which was all nostalgia, and I can't tell you how many people remember that little capsule of orange dye to make this lard-looking substance appear more palatable. They remember as kids wanting to knead that in, but what John is talking about, for those who don't remember the oleo wars, was it was illegal to sell colored oleomargarine in the state of Wisconsin, as we mentioned before. And Blue Bonnet was one of the margarine companies that first came up with this capsule. So they got around that law. There was skullduggery here. They sold the white stuff, but it wasn't colored yellow. So they gave you that capsule of this juice that you needed. I don't know what was in it. More chemicals into another chemical that you worked into it and stirred into that white substance to give it a color that made it look like real butter.
Like butter, yeah.
right. That's exactly what I remember. And one other thing, an idea for a story that you might consider. I'm going to have to talk to my dad about it. But my dad and my grandfather helped with the construction of some of the highways between like Pelican Lake and Rhinelander. And I'll have to pick his brain and see if he remembers, you know, any details about that. But there was a lot of road construction back in the day, and I'm sure that would make some great stories.
Pelican Lake, my guess is those guys went through an awful lot of tamarack swamp and probably ran into all kinds of old corduroy road they built right over. I'm just guessing, but knowing that country a little bit, it's a little mushy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. Thanks, John. That's a great idea. To follow up on, if somebody actually lived in that or experienced that, that'd be fun to read about as well.
Well, and in the issue we're talking about here, we do have a story from right where he's talking about. It's Enterprise, Wisconsin. We've got a reminiscence from a woman who actually, she's gone now, but we brought it back. She wrote about the winter she spent as a camp cook for the loggers there.
Yes.
And it's interesting. That history isn't all that long ago, really, when
No.
you think about it.
Yep, it's actually very good. John, again, thank you for calling. I want to give Rich and Mellon a chance to join in. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, appreciate your call. What have you got for us today?
Well, early on, Mike had said that you couldn't base the popularity of the magazine on him. Well, being a novice writer, he accepted some of my writing, and I know many of the others, and helped us get it all in order. So we can never thank him enough for his support to us as writers.
I think I recognize that voice. That's Rich Becker and Mellon, and thank you very much, Rich. You're too kind.
That's great.
No, actually, your backing has made many of us a little better at what we try and do.
Well, thank you for chipping in good stories from up there in bear country.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate much your call. And, yeah, that's one of your major roles, I guess, as somebody who oversees the magazine, is to help writers and do a little editing on their stories.
Yeah, the reader-written model of magazines, as I mentioned before, we encourage people to send their stories. Doesn't matter if you're good at writing. Don't worry about being good at writing. If you have a story in your mind that has a beginning, middle, and end, something that you'd stop your neighbor from mowing his lawn or blowing his snow to tell him about, it's worth his while to stop and listen. There has to be a payoff at the end. So what we do is we take these stories and we can sand the rough edges off them. We can make them fit the style and tone and format of the magazine. But we attempt to keep the heart in. And I can't tell you how many times over the years, Larry, that people would write into me and they'd say, "Thanks so much for running my story, Mike. You didn't change a word." And, if they looked at a blue pencil copy of it, it would look bloody. But that's what happens with the prose, you see. What it says is we kept the heart in it. It was what they meant to say, and they appreciate the help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have another section of the magazine I hadn't talked about was recipes, and there's always some good recipes in the book. I know you've got a shrimp jalapeno boats recipe that looked pretty good to me.
Yeah, the recipes, they come from readers, and also we have access to some recipes that we use seasonally and we put in here. They're all kitchen tested, test kitchen tested, and they're in the magazine. And I'll tell you something. Well, I like cooking. Not to be sexist here, but it's no secret recipes and cookbooks are mostly purchased by women. The power of those recipes, I saw it one time at the sports show. We had some extra issues about three years ago, and we were just getting the magazine known, and I thought, these are too nice to throw away. Let's hand them out and meet some folks at the sports show at State Fair Park in Milwaukee. And I tried something. I opened up different stories and left them on the counter, and some people, yeah, that's nice. That recipe section stopped people in their tracks, and yes, it was women. And I'd see people walking past, and they'd turn around, look over their right shoulder as they're about three steps beyond the booth, and they'd slam on the brakes and turn back. Recipes, and they start look. They love them. Yeah, you put your finger on it, Larry. The power in that, and the lesson to be learned in that, is everybody eats.
Yep.
That's the appeal.
Well, this is, as always, a great pleasure to have you come by. What's up for, you got about 20 seconds, what's up for the next issue?
February-March issue is wonderful. I do have one professional writer. Doug Moe is in here giving us the story, the history on UW boxing, and how big it once was. It dominated collegiate sports, and now it's back as a club boxing initiative. And the young man who started it, he did it largely so the old fellas, the old alumni, could see it come back. We've got the ice racing granny on Buffalo Lake in Packwaukee, a stock car racer. We've got Ice Stock. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's Bavarian curling in Heartland. We've got ski jumping the Norwegian Corridor. We got dog sledding in Bayfield.
Oh, my God. And we're out of time. Mike, thank you so much. Oh, man, it's been a great pleasure. Our Wisconsin Magazine, and if you go to ourwisconsinmag.com or go to our Facebook page, we have a link to it. And if you want to see, take another look at the magazine or see how to get it or to order there, they've got a calendar as well this year that you may, it's a really pretty calendar. I have one myself, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow at 11, we're going to find out about Wisconsin birds and what they're doing this time of the year. Stay with us.